Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Welcome back to Stomp This Way. We're back this week with another 1997 classic?
Mm-hmm.
Question mark. To be discussed. Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Whatever time it is. Buenos noches, in the words of John Voight. I think that's about as much Spanish as he knew.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. Well, today, we're discussing the film, the masterpiece, known as Anaconda. You excited?
Oh, you know it.
This is a film that both of us have seen multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
We watched it tonight, courtesy of Netflix. I asked Andrew, I was like, am I going to have to buy this thing, or is it free somewhere? But thankfully, Netflix had us covered. Not sponsored by Netflix. anyway, but we would accept such sponsorship. Anyway, you ready to jump in? Get right into it. We got some production trivia, which is, as well, you know, there wasn't near as much, you know, written about this movie as I thought there would be, as infamous as it is. But This is what I found on the IMDb trivia page.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, if you watch the film, and you could probably tell, the snakes were accomplished with a combination of CGI and one 25-foot 1,500-pound animatronic, and another 40-foot, 5,000-pound animatronic.
Wow.
During one of the Amazon scenes, the controls for the animatronic shorted out, causing it to behave erratically. Some of those scenes stayed in the film. So, there's that.
Wow.
They never, you know, you read about all these movies, Jaws, whatever. They never have luck with these animatronics.
No.
It's always a something. Nightmare, it seems. Several cast members were terrified of snakes, making the Amazon shoot challenging. I'm sure it was.
Oh, yeah.
There's one scene where they just, like, literally dump a bunch of snakes on them, which I'm sure they loved.
A few times, actually.
The CGI for the Anaconda cost $100,000 per second it was on film or on screen. So,
wow.
That's an expensive snake.
It's a real expensive.
He needed to poach that baby just to cover the CGI cost. And finally, the Anaconda vocalizations were made by Frank Welker, known as the voice of Scooby and Fred in most of the iterations of the Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Not quite his normal work there.
No, not really.
anyway, box office. This was released on April 11th of 1997. Budget of $45 million. Opening domestic weekend of $16.6 million. Total domestic gross of $66 million. And a total worldwide gross of $137 million.
So not so, terrible.
Yeah, not terrible. Not far off from what Starship Troopers made. We talked about last week. The difference is this cost a little less than half of what Starship Troopers cost.
And so, it made its money back.
And yeah, so it made a profit, which is why it got at least one theatrically released sequel, which we'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. But anyway, I did want to discuss some awards. You know, we like to talk about awards on this show. So this was nominated for the following awards at the Raspberries, Golden Raspberry Awards, nominated for Worst Picture, Worst Director, Worst Screenplay, Worst Actor, Worst Screen Couple, and Worst New Star. At the Saturn Awards, it was unironically nominated for Best Actress and Best Horror or Thriller Film. So, it got a nomination Well, I guess that was for Best Actress. The worst actor, I think the Best Actress was, they were probably referencing Jennifer Lopez. Although I think at the Raspberries, the worst new star was also referencing Jennifer Lopez. And the worst actor was probably referencing John Voight.
Yeah. He was something.
He was something. We'll talk about John Voight. Oh my God. Oh my God. This movie did win at the Stinkers Bad Movie Awards the following. Worst Supporting Actor and Worst Fake Accent. Both of which were John Voight.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway. Apparently, you know, if you read the IMDb trivia page, they like approached every famous person in Hollywood to be in this movie. And the only A-lister desperate enough to take it on was John Voight. Because, you know, I mean, if you look at this cast now, and we'll talk about it here in a second. Well, I guess I'll talk about that after we watch this trailer. Listen to this trailer. So here it is. We'll be back in just a bit.
All right, everybody. Double check your gear. Make sure it's all on board. Pray you didn't forget your bug spray.
On the rivers of the Amazon.
Wow, it's unbelievable.
This river can kill you in a thousand ways.
In the waters of the Anaconda.
There's a legend. Yoshama worship giant snakes as gods, protectors.
Snakes?
No matter what you see.
This skin is 3 or 4 years old. Whatever shed it has grown since then.
No matter what you hear.
What was that?
There's something down there.
That's right.
No, I really mean it.
I really mean it too.
Faster, come on!
No matter what you do.
Oh my God. Danny? He's not breathing.
No!
TriStar Pictures invites you on a journey into the grip of fear. Anaconda.
All right, we're back. This film was made by the following people. Directed by Luis Llosa? 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 Something like that. Written by Hans Baer, Jim Cash, Jack Epps Jr. Effects by, obviously, a lot of people. I put Chuck Gasper, as I think he was like the main supervisor, but yeah. There's a bunch of people involved. Music by Randy Edelman. And starring Jennifer Lopez, Ice Cube, John Voight, Eric Stoltz, Jonathan Hyde, and Owen Wilson.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As I was about to point out a while ago, if you look at this cast now, you're like, oh, there's a whole bunch of famous people. But if you really think about it, this was 97. Jennifer Lopez was very early in her career. She might have had like one semi-big hit before this. Ice Cube had had Friday a couple of years before, but
yeah. He
still had not been in a lot of movies. Owen Wilson, this was really, I mean, really, this I think was really his first big thing that he was in. So the only A-lister at the time was John Voight. And he must have needed a paycheck. I don't know. But maybe he was in a legal battle with his daughter at the time and needed some money. I don't know. But anyway.
He was something.
He was something. Did you know that John Voight is Angelina Jolie's father?
Really?
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people remember that. But just anyway. Off topic trivia. But anyway. Here's a plot summary that I just wrote. So be ready.
Oh boy.
In search of a hidden tribe, a documentary film crew sets out on the Amazon River. Leading this crew is doc director Terry Flores, who brings with her researcher Stephen Kale, cameraman Danny, actor Westridge, soundman Gary, production manager Denise, and the local guide and boat captain Mateo. On their journey, they stumble upon a marooned man named Cerrone, who claims his boat quit working and he just needs transportation to the next village. Things soon begin to go awry after Cerrone's arrival. Kale gets stung by a deadly wasp and becomes bedridden. Cerrone takes the crew down a path he claims to be a shortcut, but on this path, the unwitting documentarians encounter a giant anaconda. Mateo is its first victim, and after his death, Cerrone coerces Gary into helping him commandeer the boat under threat of force. It turns out that Cerrone's real goal was not to get the boat back to civilization sooner, but instead he led it to the territory of a giant anaconda he was trying to poach. After a failed attempt To catch the giant snake, Gary is killed. Terry, Danny, and Westridge jump Cerrone, knocking him unconscious and tying him up. However, the boat soon runs aground, and while Terry, Danny, and Westridge are off the boat trying to pull it loose, Cerrone escapes captivity and kills Denise. The snake attacks, and Westridge is killed as well. Kel wakes up in time to tranquilize Cerrone and knock him off the boat before Cerrone can kill anyone else. The surviving crew members then come across a dilapidated structure where they go looking for fuel, only to find Cerrone alive and well. Cerrone knocks them unconscious and ties them up in order to use them as snake bait. Another bigger anaconda shows up and is about to feast on Terry and Danny when Cerrone drops the net on it. However, the snake wriggles free and kills Cerrone. Terry and Danny are able to set the snake on fire, and Danny finishes it off with an axe. Terry, Danny, and Kel catch a glimpse of the tribe they were in search for while on their return journey as credits roll.
That was a pretty good plot summary.
Pretty good. I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
Not a lot of intricate subplots in this book or movie.
Pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. You know, I listed off all those famous people in the cast, but this movie actually starts with Danny Trejo.
Oh, yeah, it does.
You're going to love Danny Trejo. He is a poacher, I guess, who is holed out in this fuel depot or whatever structure this is. Mm-hmm. That we see later in the movie, and we don't see the snake in this opening sequence. Most of it is shot, and I mean, you see a lot of shots of Danny Trejo panicking, and then there's a lot of snake POV shot.
Yeah.
Like Jaws. Only, you know, not as good. And then, you know, of course, Danny Trejo actually climbs up like the smokestack and then shoots himself before the snake can get him. And then, you know, hard cut, and we're introduced to this cast that we're going to have on this journey that we're going to follow during this movie. They are a crew of documentarians. They're going to shoot a documentary about this tribe of the mist or something, some long lost tribe in the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have Jennifer Lopez as the director of the picture. And she's got, you know, her, I don't know what archaeologist, whatever the heck he type of doctor he is, this Kale guy. Who's also her lover, former lover, current lover. I don't really know. But she's also got Ice Cube as the cameraman. I love Ice Cube. I think there's a couple of Ice Cube tracks in this, if you listen real hard. Who else we got? We got Owen Wilson. He's the sound man. You know, very young Owen Wilson. Very classic Owen Wilson. We got this his lover, Denise, who's the production manager. Mm-hmm. And we have Westridge, he's the actor, you know, like the guy voicing the documentary and everything. And he's kind of a high maintenance kind of guy. He's got all these suitcases with expensive liquor and stuff, and he's bossing everybody around. And then you have Mateo, who is like the local guide that they hired for the boat to guide them down the Amazon River. And so they start on this journey, and they pretty quickly come across, during a thunderstorm, John Voight.
No,
who is stranded and needs a ride, I guess. I don't think this was a trap. I think, was he really stranded and this was just the first unlucky boat to come along?
I think so.
I think so. But John Voight is playing a guy from Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I mean, John Voight is like as American as about, you know, as American you can get. But he's playing this guy from Paraguay. He's got this terrible accent going on. But I tell you what, he knows what kind of movies he's in. I don't know if anybody else does, but
he gives the weirdest looks that
every time. It is freaking hilarious. Every time they cut to John Voight, he's got this like mischievous, like upside down grin on his face. I don't know really how to describe it. He's got like his lips parted and he's got it is
unsettling.
Freaking hilarious. I mean, every time they cut to him, I mean, it never fails. And then his accent is, I mean, it's glorious. It is glorious.
His acting in this movie is something else.
I think he was just like, I think he came on set and was like, F it. And, this movie is all the better for it. But anyway, so they get started on their journey. I will say I was kind of checking the time marker as we were going along on Netflix. So, I mean, obviously we see an attack sort of at the very opening, but we don't ever see the snake. It's all shit snake POV. Mm-hmm. I don't know, about 15, 20 minutes into the movie, we see the snake kill a panther. But we don't actually have a snake on human attack until where we actually see the snake doing damage until right at the 40-minute mark.
Yeah.
You know, we have a series of events where John Voight's on board and, you know, the crew, we're kind of learning about these characters and their personalities. And at one point, Gary and the other chick sneak off the boat to go have sex in the forest or whatever, but they almost get gored by a wild hog and John Voight kills it. And there's some tension between John Voight and the Mateo. Stephen, Kale, whatever, the doctor, researcher doctor. Guy, because the researcher guy, you know, is, you know, saying that he knows best how to find this tribe, whereas, you know, John Voight's like, I can't do his accent. I know these forests. The tribe will be over here. You can listen or not, or whatever. But anyway, so, you know, they're going back and forth. And actually, before the snake attack, let me back up, their rope, anchor rope, gets caught up in their engine, their propeller. And Kale gets off the boat, puts a diving suit on to go cut it loose or whatever. And a wasp, like, gets in his throat or something and stings him. And they get him back on board and have to pull it out. And freaking John Voight does a trach on him. And
He'll be fine.
And anyway, so he's bedridden for most of the rest of the movie. He's out of the way.
Yeah.
And then at this point, John Voight kind of starts asserting himself and tells them that they need to take this route, and there's a dam blocking their path, and he, you know, rigs it with dynamite, and they blow it up. And this is the scene that I'm sure they had a lot of fun filming, where they just dump snakes all over this boat.
Over everybody.
They're everywhere, and they're real snakes.
Yeah, they're not fake.
Not fake snakes. And that's one thing I'll give this movie. They film this on location. They use a lot of, like, real animal life, or, you know, there's a real monkey. They don't actually kill the monkey. They use a little, like, dummy doll for when they shoot it. But there's a real monkeys. There's real shots of panthers. There's a real shots of, you know, the normal size snakes. And there's a couple of times where I think John Voight is sitting in front of a green screen. But as far as everybody else, I mean, I think they were on the boat for the entire shoot.
Yeah.
But anyway, they keep going and they get off. Well, they find another boat wreckage or something. And when the dynamite blew up the dam, I guess all their fuel barrels got knocked into the river. So they're looking for fuel. And this is where Mateo gets got. He's the last one off the shipwrecked boat. And the anaconda comes up and gets him, wraps him up like anacondas do, and then, like, eats his head or something.
Yeah.
And so he goes missing. So it's not long after this where, you know, they realize that John Voight is actually hunting this snake and doesn't care about anything else. And he, like, talks Owen Wilson and, like, he's like, you'll get $1 million if we, you know, poach this snake or whatever. And so he and Owen Wilson, like,
team up
and forcefully take over the boat. And he puts out, like, a fishing line he kills a monkey.
Yeah.
And puts it on the end of this fishing line or whatever for this snake. And then we have another snake attack where, you know, he hooks him and then the snake gets free. He does trank it. But the snake does kill Owen Wilson's character, Gary. And
sad moment. His lover is very distraught.
She's very distraught, even though he was being a jerk. So after Gary dies, what happened next? Is that when, so that. John Voight still has control of the boat or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's, you know,
Ordering people around.
He's all pissy because his snake got away. And this brings us to one of the most terrifically acted scenes in all of cinema history. The scene where Jennifer Lopez decides that she's going to seduce John Voight. And yeah. or whatever. Or I guess she's going to fake seduce him while Ice Cube jumps him or whatever.
It's so cringy.
Oh, it is so incredibly bad. She goes up there and she's doing the whole innocent, you know, I just want to shoot you capturing this snake. And he's like, could be dangerous. It's been a long time since I've had a woman. And then he sees Ice Cube in like the mirror or whatever coming to get him. And so he grabs her by the back of the head and, I don't know, knocks out Ice Cube. But then, what is his name? Winchester?
Mm-hmm.
Westminster? What was it?
Minister.
Westridge. Westridge hits him with the golf club. And
because
Westridge loved, he's the whole movie, he's just been, you know, golfing off the deck of the boat. Knocks him out. They tie him up. And at some point, the boat, like, runs aground. So they go out, her and Westridge and Danny go out to tie some ropes around some trees to
pull it out.
Pull it off or something. But he gets free enough of the ropes. He like grabs Denise, the production manager chick, around the neck with his legs and chokes her out and throws her overboard and
takes her knife
and cuts his ropes. And when they come back aboard, the snake attacks. And he grabs a gun and what happened? What was the sequence of it? He got her off the boat.
No, the snake was attacking before he did that. Right after.
Because the snake grabs Ice Cube, right? And she picks up the gun and she shoots the snake.
He throws Denise overboard and then the snake starts chasing Ice Cube and them. And that's when, Wesker gets in the waterfall.
So oh, yeah, that's right. They had the whole scene kind of stolen from The Lost World where he goes behind the waterfall and the snake pokes his head. Was this before The Lost World? When did The Lost World come out? I think this was after The Lost World, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, it pokes his head through the waterfall and gets him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he tried to jump out.
And it catches him like midfall.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway. Kills him, gets Ice Cube, but then Jennifer Lopez shoots it, and then John Boy gets all pissed off because he killed her snake.
You killed my snake.
And then he's about to kill them, but Lover Guy gets out of his bed coma and gets that Trank dart that he's been using to try to get the snakes and sticks John Boy with it, and John Boy falls into the river.
After Ice Cube just sticks him in the face.
Yeah, he does like an elbow to the face, but anyway, they're going down the river. Lover Boy goes back to bed. They're going down the river. And, of course, they need fuel. So they find this, like, you know,
Abandoned warehouse
thing. Building thing. And this is where Danny Trejo died at the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
God bless Danny Trejo. And, of course, John Boy's still alive. He, like, somehow, it's kind of funny because it's just a quick cut. Danny. He jumps out and he, like, somehow, I guess it just shows him like slinging the butt of his gun into somebody's head, but I guess he somehow hit both of them and knocked them both out before they got away.
This wasn't the place Danny Trejo died. Danny Trejo died at the place where the captain of the ship died. Because remember, the floorboards were broken in the bottom of the thing where
he went. I thought he climbed up the smokestack and shot himself.
He climbed up the... his boat on the top of the signal tower thing.
Oh. Okay, whatever.
What movie were you watching?
I was watching Anaconda. I wasn't paying attention to the details, obviously. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God. Anyway, he ties them up. Doesn't kill them. I guess, I don't know. Snakes like live bait. He showers them in monkey blood. And there's another anaconda, a bigger anaconda. This is the 40-foot animatronic right here. It's a black snake. The other one was a green snake. This one's a black snake. And it starts to wrap up Danny and Harry.
Yeah.
And then John Voight drops the net on it. And then it, like, gets pissed off and eats John Voight. And Ice Cube and Jennifer Lopez run away and...
There's this whole sequence of them.
There's a great sequence where the snake vomits up John Voight in front of Jennifer Lopez, and he winks at her and falls over dead.
It was great.
Yeah, so, you know, we're just going full-blown cheese mode here. And then, yeah, they spill one of the drums and get some oil on the snake, and then she leads it up the smokestack. But then she can't get the thing open, the grate open at the top, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, push on the hinges. Okay. And anyway, she gets it open just in time. Yeah. And he lights it up and it catches on fire and the smoked stack blows and Jennifer Lopez falls into the water. The snake falls into the water. But just like any good horror movie, comes back up for one good jump scare. And then Ice Cube takes an axe to his head and
kills it.
You know, I'll give him credit for this final scene. They actually set this animatronic on fire and filmed it for a good long sequence. And I don't know.
Probably why the animatronic went crazy for a few
things. Yeah, probably didn't help the electronics in it, huh? and it's just fun. It's fun. Anyway, then on their way home, they get to see the Tribe of the Mist that they were, you know, searching so hard for.
In the place where...
Where John Voight said they were.
Yeah.
He wasn't lying. He was telling the truth. He's a man of his word, sort of.
Yeah, kind of.
But anyway. Yeah, that's the movie. I mean, it's, listen, it's a bad movie, but it's a fun bad movie.
It's a fun bad.
I mean, if you want to go along for the ride, I mean, it's cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Voight is hamming it up, chewing the scenery. It's a fun ride, I think. I mean, like I said, the snake doesn't actually attack a person until about 40 minutes into it. And then even after that, the snake's used pretty sparingly.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably use a little more snake action for this kind of movie. But, I mean, we're not making Jaws here, you know. I don't know. I think it's pretty fun. It's a fun bad movie. Anyway, you want to get into some creature design?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we really have two snakes. We got the first snake. It's, you know, they look like anacondas, more or less. The first one's green. You know, the animatronics, they may not move super lifelike, but I think the animatronics look pretty cool. I mean, I think they do a lot of good practical effects stuff with these animatronics. And then the bigger, the black one, which is a really big snake. And again, looks like an anaconda.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great shot. I think it's a great shot where the black one is eating John Voight and the camera's like inside the, you know, inside, quote unquote, the snake when it opens its mouth and goes to swallow John Voight. That was pretty neat. That was a pretty neat little thing they built for that shot. So I'll give them credit for that. But yeah, they're snakes. Big snakes.
Big snakes.
I don't know about the scientific accuracy. I think like the first one was a green anaconda. I don't think green anacondas specifically grow that big. I mean, anacondas in general don't get 40 feet long. I mean, anacondas get big.
Yeah.
Now, pythons will get 30, maybe close to 40 feet long, but they're not big around. They're not like tree trunks. Now, anacondas don't get quite that long, but anacondas are like tree trunks. Like, yeah, they get big around.
Beefy.
They are beefy. Like, if you watch that. We were watching that stupid swamp people, the new show where they're hunting hunting snakes down in Florida. And most of the time they're killing pythons and, you know, they're long.
But they're skinny.
But one episode they stumbled across an anaconda and that thing was literally built like a tree trunk. That thing was big. But they usually don't get 40 feet long.
No.
So, you know, scientifically accurate, this is not, but whatever. It's about a giant snake.
You still wouldn't want to get in a tussle with one.
No, if the thing got wrapped around you, you'd be screwed. You'd be dead.
Yeah. Pythons, you can get out of those.
Yeah, especially the ones that they were hunting in swamp people. I mean, now there are some pythons that are really big and strong, like
the Burmese. Is
it the Burmese python or the reticulated python? I mean, but yeah, most species of pythons, if you're pretty physically strong person,
you could
unwind it and kind of fight it off, but
not an anaconda.
Yeah, not an anaconda. Not if it decided it. And also, of course, one thing this movie really takes liberties with: anacondas don't move this fast. They're, I mean, they can strike, but they don't, you know,
wrap up,
zoom around, and then wrap you up at the speed of light like these snakes in this movie do. But hey, we're not here for a realistic portrayal of snakes. No. We're here to see snakes kill people.
Giant snakes kill people.
Giant snakes kill people. But effects, like I said, I like the animatronics. I like the devotion to practical effects. The fact that they shot a lot of this on location, mm-hmm. a lot of real live animal wildlife shots and all that. The CGI is dated in a lot of the shots. But, you know, it was 97 and this was not a
high budget,
super high budget affair. So I'll give it a pass. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's acceptable. It's not Sci-Fi Channel bad.
No.
I'm sure it's probably the best effects of any of its sequels, if we're being honest. I don't know. I can't remember Blood Orchid. But,
that went pretty decent.
But it's better than any of the sci-fi sequels it did, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And then score. I mean, score didn't really leave any particular impression on me. It works for the movie. No complaints. Yeah. So, anyway, you want to get into some final thoughts?
Why not?
All right. Well, why don't you go for it?
Well, this movie, it's something to behold. If you go in knowing what you're going into, you enjoy it. The acting is not great. The effects are decent for what they're going with, you know. They actually filmed a lot on a location, like you said, and got some big animatronics that probably cost them most of their budget. The build. Mm-hmm. And, you know, score, it was there. It fit the movie perfectly. It wasn't something crazy good or, you know, anything, but, you know, Kane asked for everything. And, you know, I think I'll give this movie a C-.
C-? Yeah, listen, I think this is, like I said, I think fun, bad movie is a great term for this here film. It's not some high art piece of work, you know. It doesn't really have any aspirations to be that. It is a cheesy monster flick that, you know, they had a little bit of money for. It's got some big names in it, most of them early in their career. You've got a old school A-list actor and John Voight just hamming it up
mm-hmm.
in the most hammy way possible. You've got giant snakes killing people. I mean, What do you want? What do you expect?
What do you want?
Yeah, I think it's a fun time. I mean, yeah, you could make some tweaks that would make it a little bit more funner, better time.
Yeah.
You maybe add a little more snake action, you know. Maybe a couple of the supporting actors could also ham it up a little bit more. But and you could have Danny Trejo for more than one scene. I mean, the more Danny Trejo, there is one truth in film. The higher percentage of runtime that has Danny Trejo, the better your movie's going to be. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just a truth.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, but it's a fun bad time. I'll give it a C. All right. It's there. It's in that range. You know, it's not a work of art, but it's still a lot of fun. And doesn't hurt anybody to watch it. So, anyway. Some news. We got quite a bit of news to talk about. I don't think I added it to my notes here. But, of course, our weekly GXK box office update. It dropped to second place for its third weekend.
Oh, no.
It's going to beat out by Civil War. Artsy fartsy, you know, A24 movie, whatever. We actually went and watched it. It's not bad. But anyway, dropped to second place with between 14 and 15 million projected. Bring its domestic total to around 157 million.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing well in China, still doing well globally. It had a bit of a harsh drop off this week, you know, now that, you know, Easter's come and gone and it's kind of getting away from its opening date and more competition's coming in. But no, it's still doing really well, made a lot of money. We'll get a sequel. Speaking of which, Apple has announced that they have renewed officially Monarch for a season 2, and they're planning multiple spinoff shows, whatever that means. And Toho, I guess they got some kind of festival or event coming up on the 28th of April. And on their schedule, they've got some kind of live action project reveal for Godzilla You know, there's a lot of theorizing that it could be a live-action TV show, Japanese TV show.
Ooh.
Could be the next live-action film. Could be a compilation trailer, for all we know. But keep your eye out on that. Of course, we'll report on it the episode after it's revealed that we have scheduled. Mm-hmm. So, exciting times.
Exciting times.
Oh, and Kaiju number 8 premiered on Crunchyroll today on the 13th.
Yeah.
Andrew and I watched the first episode. It's very promising. Very promising. Yeah. Looks like another good anime. And it jams out to a One Republic track at the end.
Oh, yeah, so, it does.
What else do you want? But anyway. So exciting times for us Kaiju fans. But anyway, speaking of exciting things, I have filled out the schedule through the end of May. We are going to finish out April with the Giant Claw. Is that what I said? That doesn't sound right.
No, that does not sound right.
That doesn't sound right. No, yeah, that's right. The Giant Claw.
Really, huh?
About the giant bird or whatever. So we're going to watch that. It's another old school 50s B-monster movie.
Oh, boy.
And then for May, I've got some interesting things. I put, you know, in the spirit of Anaconda, we're going to watch Lake Placid.
Uh-huh.
Only the first one. Before that, actually, I did discover that the sequel to Anaconda, Blood Orchid, was theatrically released. So I decided, it's only one more. Why don't we just go ahead and do it? So we're going to do the Anaconda sequel after the Giant Claw. And then I think Lake Placid's coming up. And we're also going to do in May the two Young Gary movies. So the old 60s Young Gary Monster from the Deep. And then the 1999 sort of reimagining Young Gary, also known as in some markets Reptilian. So I think that's a sci-fi original maybe, but we're going to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's a couple movies we're going to do because I actually remember I have some nostalgia for that 1999 terrible Reptilian movie because I rented it. It was at our local video rental store back when we had those things. And I rented it a few times as a little kid and watched it. So we're going to watch that. And then we'll move into June. Middle of June, that new Ultraman movie comes out on Netflix. And then, of course, as of right now, I have the last week of June through the end of July will be our month for Evangelion.
Wow.
And then, of course, October will be the yokai month. So, lots of exciting things coming up. But I think that's all we got for you this week. Don't forget that you can contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com. Andrew, tell them about our website.
You can find our website at stompthisway.wordpress.com, and you can find our schedule there, a little bit about our podcast, mm-hmm. and some other information that you might like.
That's right. And we are also on Facebook. You can catch my weekly post about our new episode there if you want to. And I think that's it. So don't forget, next week, Giant Claw. Check it out if you haven't before we discuss it. And other than that, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll catch you in the next one.